Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with myself, Dave Johnson from Koi Sports. And as ever, I'm calling you my trusted servant.
That'll do. Man of many names.
John Woodcock of Barclays Bank. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well indeed. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, yeah. Good. On about my 27th hour of the day today. So it's an interesting one.
Yeah, I got your message earlier. I'll be there in a minute.
A little bit late. And today we're joined by two exceptional people. You're going to love this show. No pressure, guys. So we've got the lovely Beverly Sankey. And we have the, I can't think of a word to describe you, Chris. You're this kind of angelic kind of figure in my eyes. Chris Lomas from Hope for Stroke Reach My Street. How are we doing, folks? Are we all right?
Really good. Yeah, well, great, after that, you. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
Well, that was the idea. John and I and Bev want more time to speak. See, so we thought.
What a wonderful way to introduce you two. And I was introduced as Dave's servant.
As his servant.
Brilliant. And so, yeah, today's show is going to be really interesting. There's a backstory to all of this, but we'll visit that a bit later. So Bev, from the fair city of Leicester, she's a member of Koi Sports and somebody who I've loved dealing with probably for close to about 10, 12 months now, Bev.
Yeah, April, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris, joining us all the way from Moldova, which is an interesting one. And what you're doing out there, I know that, again, there's a backstory. It always is. But it's an interesting place, Moldova, Chris, isn't it?
It really is right now as well. We border Ukraine, so it's grab your popcorn. And it's pretty cold as well.
Yeah. Amazing. And, of course, there is a connection between the two of you because Bev is supporting you, Chris, over there through the charity Hope For. Some amazing things are happening, which is great. So we're hoping to kind of unravel that story as we go. But you want to just tell us a little bit about Moldova, Chris?
Yeah. So Moldova is officially Europe's poorest country. The average monthly salary over here is $150 per month. That's nothing. It costs more than that to heat a house, let alone to support a family. It also has the unenviable title of the human trafficking capital of the world. And just to put that in terms of numbers, they estimate that more than 10% of Moldova's population has been trafficked. So it's the human trafficking capital of the world per capita, but 10% in any other nation would cause an outcry. So in the UK, that would be 6 million. In the US, what's that? About 30 million. You know, that would cause an outcry anywhere else. And yet most people's response when you mention Moldova is, where is it?
I'm absolutely stunned by that. In all seriousness, that's absolutely, and we all know it takes quite a lot to shut John up. 10%. Yeah. Of the population.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it's a country of 3 million. So that represents 300,000 people. And there's, you know, human trafficking and modern day slavery comes in different forms. But nonetheless, it is a worrying statistic.
And that's just coming from sort of like the population of Moldova. That's not traffickers trafficking others from other countries through Moldova to get to other parts of Europe or whatever. That's just specifically Moldova.
Just specifically Moldova. But it's an interesting point you make because it is a gateway into Europe. So it borders Ukraine and Romania. Romania is a European country. And so what you find is a lot of people being trafficked from Russia through Ukraine, through Transnistria, through Moldova. And further afield as well. And so it's a bit of a hub as well. So the 10% is the indigenous population, but there are many, many more making their way through the various borders.
Wow.
That was the thing for me when I met Chris and Dave introduced us, I think, because I'd already realised the extent of the global problem in people trafficking, and the figures that I knew of were 1.8 million per year, and something like, and I think these figures are old, but 800,000 of those are in the US and 250,000 are in the UK. And just the sheer thought of 250,000 people in the three fields behind my house just horrified me persistently over the last 10 years. And I couldn't get away from the image. And, you know, every now and again, it was overwhelming. And then I met Chris and I just thought, my goodness me, you know, what you think about, you bring about. And this is like come absolutely to my door, and I can actually do something directly about it. So I can totally believe that is the case, because it's the worst problem than you know, drug dealing, because, you know, people command such a high price.
Mm.
And children especially, which is why I'm so passionate about anything to do with the children.
So. And the reality is, Bev, it's you know, there's people that say, oh, it's a far off problem. It's a problem in another country. Well, all these people are being trafficked to the UK, like you've said, and to the US, to countries where there's money and where there's disposal. So, you know, Greece and Dubai or the United Arab Emirates. So the problem is actually next door. You know, you could be actually living next door to someone that has been trafficked. So one of the things that we do is it's all about education, because it's not like the movies. It's not like the movie Taken, you know, where they're snatched off the street. People are deceived into accepting jobs out of a place of desperation. Mm. And as soon as they cross borders, their passports are taken, they're beaten. In the case of the women, they're drugged and subjected to the most inhumane conditions. And they end up in your street. Mm. And so part of the education is spotting the signs. You know, and you know, we work alongside an incredible organization called Hope for Justice. They're the guys that are bursting the doors down as well as doing the education piece. And that is, okay, how do you spot this? Because the likelihood in your average day, particularly if you go to a restaurant or to a hotel or go shopping, you might just be coming across someone that is there against their will. And it's shocking.
Mm. In such numbers as well, that's got to be... Well, that's a reality, isn't it? When you're sitting somewhere with more people in the room, you know.
Well, it just made me realise all those years ago, like, how do 250,000 children go missing every year in the UK? It's supposed to be a civilised country. Mm. And I just couldn't get my head around it. So Chris, you know, has really brought it home to me that what I've found out and what I've read is absolutely a reality. And, you know, we need to do something about it. And Chris and his wife are doing something directly on the ground about it. So me supporting, you know, their community over there was the least that I could do.
I think it's amazing because you're into well-being anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave, yeah.
With Arbonne.
Yeah, yeah. Arbonne is a company that's 42 years old. And as always, yeah. It's always been green as well. So always been about vegan products, gluten-free products. So non-GMO, no chemicals, no pesticides, no petroleum. Because we're living in such a toxic world, you know, and it's becoming more and more apparent. Mm. So, you know, Arbonne as a company is now, instead of being this, like, you know, direct selling association company of a few, although that business is huge in terms of, you know, the amount of people that are employed by the Direct Selling Association, related companies in this country and worldwide is massive, but people haven't really been aware of it. So for me, the vehicle was Arbonne. When I came across it in order to get myself well, because I'd suffered from ME for over 12 years, and so I'd started to investigate and learn all about naturopathic medicine and holistic treatments, etc., many years ago. And I came across Arbonne, and it was just like a gift, really. But then attached to that is a business side of it, whereby you can actually go on to build a network of consumers, and then through that you can actually do fantastic things with any of the income that you earn. And many of the national vice presidents that have been in Arbonne for 10 years plus, and some have been in Arbonne for over 30 years in America, they have orphanages and they have causes of their own where they do, you know, amazing work. So for me, that was, that's, you know, there'll never be an end goal, but that's one of the goals that I've got, to be able to give back on a huge scale. So that's kind of where that fits in.
Doing a pretty good job there already, but not just with us, of course, but elsewhere, I know that. And so just a quick question. Are Arbonne in Moldova?
No. Arbonne's only in six countries and has been for most of the time. I mean, it started off in America in 1980. It was created by a Norwegian entrepreneur, Petter Mork. And his son, Stian Mork, is still in the business, but it's now owned by a company called Group Roche, which is a French company. So they're in six countries, but the intention now that Group Roche have bought Arbonne is to put in, you know, to launch into many, many more countries, including Central Europe, obviously, because we're only in Poland at the moment and the UK. So who knows which of the European countries that will involve? I don't know. But Southeast Asia is one, and South America as well. So it's very exciting, very exciting.
Exciting times. I mean, John, you've seen this, haven't you? The exciting times recently with you changing job roles and this having to work thing.
Well, do you know what? Yes, I am working hard. I am very blessed with the wonderful people that have come through the academy within Barclays and the Centre of Excellence Academy. Now, I now have the delightful pleasure of training and developing talent source specialists in old money headhunters. So, which is using a lot of experience that I've had in the past. And like I said to you the other week, Dave, you know, when this opportunity came up and I spotted it, it was sort of like, well, I actually sat up and paid attention. And it was sort of like, well, it's using financial services, which was something that I've done previously and worked in a bank and been a qualified financial advisor, working in recruitment. Yeah, I've done that. And training, and I do that. So all of those three components together, and I, you know, it's fantastic. And the area of coverage is huge. You know, I'm sort of working through the Centre of Excellence with another trainer. She's amazing. And we're covering the whole of the UK, EMEA, North America, and APAC. All looking to, you know, and when these boys and girls go out to do their jobs, they will be headhunting, talent sourcing is probably a better way of putting it, for amazing new staff into Barclays.
Wow, that's brilliant. Really, really good. I sit here and I always think, is there any collaboration to be had? It's all over the place in this show. Yeah. Huge amount of opportunities there, I think.
It only dawned on me this morning when I was sort of doing a few bits, and I was like, I'm doing all of this all over there. And then with Koi Sports, I'm kind of sort of working with Dave, and we're in the UK, we're talking over in Moldova, we talked to Rich over in the United States, and by that we've also had conversations with Brianna as well, and we're also talking over in Uganda. And we're also talking over, you know, over in Singapore with Coach, and I'm like, this is nuts. I only used to go networking with Bev in Leicester for a cup of coffee.
that's what's great about the way the world has gone, isn't it? Is everything is global now? You know, it's just like such a small place. And obviously the banking industry is changing massively, isn't it?
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely. I can understand why the putting this training academy together, because it makes a lot of sense, because that, you know, Barclays are recruiting massively, and some of the jobs that I sat in on a training session yesterday. I didn't run this one because it was for tech, so they were talking about Java developers and cloud architects and, you know, various other words that I really didn't understand, But when they provided the training, I sat there and it was just so simple when it was given. And I was like, I think even I could recruit for that now. Well, it was brilliant. It closed my day off brilliantly yesterday. It was fantastic.
I mean, one of the things that Chris has spoken about to me, which I'm hoping I can, you know, help him with, is the crossover, the pen pals between countries with the kids.
That's a great idea. Because I love that. That's the education piece, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly.
We can touch on that in the next bit, because there's various bits that I'm. So I've been asked to go and do mock interviews for year 13s at a local college, and I'm really looking forward to going to do that. But there may well be stuff that we can talk about, and maybe get more pen pals. The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. Look at Chris's eyes; he's like, yeah, absolutely.
Does it
on that note, we're going to have to go to a commercial break, where we invite all of our guests to do a bit of dad and mum dancing.
Absolutely.
The amazing tunes that accompany these adverts. But please join us in the second half when we'll be chatting a little bit more and delving a little bit deeper into the world of Bev Sankey and Chris Lomas. Enjoy the break. Welcome back, everybody. Dave Johnson Rayner here on the Grassroots Sport and Business Show with John Woodcock and our fantastic guests, Bev Sankey and Chris Lomas. If you were listening before the break, we did a very quick kind of summary of everything that's kind of relevant to what we do. And it dawned on me that opportunity appears to be something which sits with each and every one of us in this Zoom room as we talk through the show. Opportunity in business, in life, is so important. You know, it keeps you buzzing. And I think, Bev, from your point of view, you know, it is an opportunity to be taken with Arvon, isn't it?
It's an opportunity to what? Sorry, Dave.
It's an opportunity to be taken, isn't it? You know, it's something.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, the benefits are amazing. It starts out about, introducing people to safe products, but then it turns into a whole lifestyle change. And it certainly did for me. And I love it. You know, after 11 years, I absolutely love the people, the company, the community. And that's what I loved about Koi Sports as well, is that, you know, it's a community of like-minded people who basically just want a better quality of life for them, their own families, themselves, and the people that they know. And for me, you know, that's all about improving people's nutrition and their health in turn, and, you know, sharing that opportunity. And there is an opportunity attached to it as well, where you can earn extra money around your existing commitments. So, you know, that can be as big or as small as you want it to be, depending on how much time you want to invest in it. But you know, you've got the opportunity to improve your health and that of your families. And at the end of the day, you know, you've also got the opportunity to pay a couple of £100 towards your mortgage. So it's a great opportunity for people who perhaps might lose their homes because they can't, you know, afford. And especially now with the increase in the bills, you know, the gas and electric, it's going to be about an average of £700, I think. To your average family. I mean, that's huge. That is really huge. So it gives people the opportunity to make a secondary income stream.
Yeah.
Just by sharing great quality, healthy products that are actually going to improve people's lives. So, you know, I think just that simple, I don't know what the word is, but it is just that simple. You're just sharing those great products and showing other people how to do the same. And by building that throughout a network and creating a network, which we all know is so powerful these days, then we can go on to do whatever we want with the money. So, you know, there's earning a small amount of money to get people out of trouble, and then there's earning more money so people have got a great lifestyle, but then they can share that and do what they want with it. So, you know, I'm a big fan of people using money for you know, doing great things. And Chris and, you know, his CIC, a perfect example of what you could do with some amounts of money if you had the opportunity. So obviously, if Arbonne goes into Europe, then that's going to extend the possibilities of that, you know, because I will be able to sponsor somebody else to start a business in whatever country that is. You know, there's no boundaries. It's a global business. So the opportunity is across six countries, including Australia and New Zealand at the moment, Canada, USA, Poland and UK. But that will, you know, that will extend over the years. So for young people who are tech savvy as well, because, you know, all of the youngsters are on social media, sharing Instagram posts. My daughter's the same, you know, she's sharing the products, but literally because she uses these products and she's, you know, she's got herself in such a position where after having a baby, she's lost all the weight and people are just asking her, what do you do? You look so amazing, you know, and she's literally just telling them the truth. She's not into the business side of it particularly, but she's great testimony for it, you know. So
as a byproduct, you know, your daughter sort of extolling the virtues of Arbonne and you know, the ability to sort of bounce back from having a baby, which, you know,
yeah,
as a man I wouldn't know, you know, but I've been told it's massively hard, so I'll take that as it is.
It is a bit.
And now I'm going to steer out of this subject completely. but you know, by doing that, by saying, you know, you know, by using this product, et cetera, it's helping you.
Yeah.
You know, with you know, with you sort of selling more products and doing that, but. Like you said, it's sort of like it's giving you an opportunity to and of having a career that works for you, and when and how, you know, you manage to sort of, you know, you've got time for you. And I know you with anything you have to put time and effort in.
Yeah.
But like Arbonne, you know, as with other sort of businesses, it can be done and sit alongside your day job.
Yeah. And the thing I liked about it, John, which appealed to me, because for 25 years I had a manufacturing business in Leicester in manufacturing costume jewellery and hair accessories and supplied all of the high street and export as well. And that took a big toll on my health and my well-being, etc. So the thing I liked about it was that people within Arbonne are building their business around their families. It's not the other way around. So for 25 years... we built our businesses, me and my ex-husband, and our families fitted in around that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to stop that. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted my family to be my main purpose and, you know, helping other people to fit in around that. And so I've achieved that, and it's a wonderful feeling. And it's the way everybody should live their lives. You know, people shouldn't be strapped down to a job and that they hate and, you know, Monday to Friday, they can't wait for Friday on Monday morning. You know, it's not like that. You know, it's a complete different lifestyle.
But I agree 100%. But I think the other thing as well is that by growing this new business that you know that was sort of 11 years ago, and you built, you know, you're now in a position to do what you're doing now, which is you're able to give back, and you've given back very graciously. To Mr. Lomas.
It was very important for me because I'd reached a point like you where I'd been networking because I thought, well, I don't know anybody when I closed my other business down. I thought, I don't know anybody because I've done this for 25 years. Like, who am I going to tell about these amazing products? And so, you know, for me, I went out networking and I just reached a point where I was just so fed up of it because it was like talking to a brick wall because people want to talk to you about what they do and they're just assuming that you want to sell to them. So it is like Groundhog Day. And I just came across Dave and I just thought, here's my purpose. You know, that this is, if I'm going to go out at night, I want it to be for a reason and a purpose. I don't
want to
just network.
I mean, Dave had me at hello about 2 years ago. you know, and this is how I met Chris. And I think, you know, what for me, one of the things, we'll talk about Dave later. But for me, when I met Chris and we had a really, really nice conversation, and then I think we did a Zoom call, didn't we? We were about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I think we could have carried on chatting for the entire day, but we both decided we'd actually got some stuff to do. I love the fact that, you know, through Dave, Dave's kind of the conduit here. We, you know, through through Koi Sports and the great things that Koi Sports does, but it's that it is that community piece, isn't it? It's, you know, in a way, Dave is building this community of quality businesses who want to be able to help and assist and develop and grow, not sort of to and sit back, but to actually be a participant in all of this.
Yeah, proactive. Because as entrepreneurs, we essentially are proactive people, aren't we? So, you know, if you can get in your business, and a lot of people become very isolated as well if you're in a small business. And, you know, it gives you an outlet so that you can go out and you can, even on Zoom, you know, you can connect up, you can just have a chat and like talk to Chris in Moldova. You know, it's like amazing.
Which is fantastic. So, I mean, what opportunities are going on over in Moldova, Chris?
First and foremost, we came to Moldova as Reach My Street because that's what we were in the UK. We set up an organization to help people pretty much in our street. Albeit in the high street. And when we came over to Moldova, this is, you know, apart from Reach My Street, it's the first time we've run an NGO. It's the first time we've run a CIC or a charity related organization. And we came over with the altruistic view that we're here to help people. We're here to address the chronic need over here. And I put a post out today, which was humorous, but nonetheless making a very serious point. And so we came over with a packet of Band-Aids and just started applying plasters everywhere because we thought that that's what NGOs did. It is, but that's only half of the issue. That's only half of the problem. And we've done a lot of learning. We're about to celebrate on the 17th our first anniversary. And I don't know where the year's gone. But and we're planning a really big event, so please keep an eye out for that, because I want more than five people in the room when I do this. But we soon became aware that Moldova's future doesn't lie in handouts. It lies in opportunity. It lies in creating an environment in which people can thrive. So Reach My Street, while it was working in the UK and it still exists in the UK and underpins our UK operation, we wanted to change our name to something that resonated, that something that addressed the opportunity. And so it became Hope For. Hope For what? Hope for orphans and victims, and hope for families, but also hope for businesses, and ultimately hope for nations. And so we've all aware of the saying, if you give a man a fish, he'll feed a family for a day, but if you teach him to fish, and really that underpins the opportunity. We're here to teach a nation to fish. Now, there's so many things going on in terms of the opportunity. You know, I would need 10 more shows to share. But I've already expressed that the national average salary is 150 euros. That's not enough, and it's contributing to depopulation. So the country's suffering the worst economic migration of anywhere in the developed world. People are leaving to get jobs because they can get paid more. And here's the crazy thing. They're not getting paid the national average in the country they go to, because the minute the employers in Germany and France and the UK hear they're from Moldova, they pay them a fraction of what they're worth. So it's modern day slavery.
So my brain, when you're saying that, is literally going, well, if I was a medium-sized or even a large organization and I'm looking at sort of growing, why wouldn't I want to go to Moldova and invest in Moldova and employ, you know, people from Moldova at a decent salary? And therefore, what you are actually doing is, surely it'll be cheaper for me to bring my business to you and to your organization and employ people at the right monetary level, not $150 per month, but at the right monetary level, which therefore brings a real economic boom, does it not?
John, I want to assure the listeners that we did not plan this, because that's exactly what our strategy is. We're registering an NGO over here for a lot of border control issues. It's easier to bring things in when you're a domestic NGO. But we are also launching our first social enterprise. So we are going to go into manufacturing. In addition, we are actively attracting businesses to come to Moldova, as you've said, not to exploit cheap labor, nope, but to pay double, triple what these people are used to being paying. So we've literally just yesterday launched Hope for Recruitment. And already we've got an organization that are using us and our local knowledge to recruit 8, 9, 10, 11 people to fill positions that they have because they want to invest in the economy. And this is the future of the country. This is what excites me. Yes, I love people, seeing people smile when you deliver word or you deliver food, because that's survival. But the real opportunity is saying, now we can equip you to be successful. And that's going to retain people and attract people back and repatriate people from countries where they're still being ripped off, you know, to come back and be a part of the solution for this incredible country.
I think me and you need to have a conversation outside of this radio show, my friend.
I think so. Oh, we just need organizations that capture the vision and support what's going on.
I think there's a lot that can be done with regards to that. I think that, you know, if you're keen, if you're observant, and not that you want it enough, because everybody wants something, but if you're keen and observant, there's opportunity wherever you look. And that's what, when you were saying that my brain automatically is slightly cabbage this evening, but it what you were saying there, my brain's gone, well, just bring business to the country, and that surely big tick. I know it's not as simple as that, yeah, but it's not a million miles off being that simple.
That was exactly what Arbonne did in 2015. They opened in Poland, so the only UK,
exactly,
the only European country was Britain, because obviously we had all the EU standards, so they wanted to, you know, put all the products through the EU certification. And so then they went to Poland because Poland had got the manufacturing base for the cosmetics, etc. Is what I think anyway. Obviously, I've not been told that. But they wanted to, because there was a lot of Polish emigres in the USA that were Arbonne consultants, they urged Stian Mork to open in Poland first so that it would grow that economy from Poland out into the other wealthier countries like Germany, etc. So that was a strategic move on their part. So it's entirely possible.
The one thing that I just want to jump in and say, because I know that Dave's about to get ready to go and do some dad dancing for during the adverts, is that the one thing we haven't spoken about is awesome opportunities via Koi Sports. So I'd like to have a couple of minutes to talk about that when we come back from sort of, you know, cutting up a rug and throwing some shapes.
Fabulous. Well, that would be very, very kind of you, John.
I try.
Fascinated and love listening to that section. Absolutely fantastic. So coming back in the third section, the final section of the show, look forward to speaking to you once we've, like John so correctly put, done a little bit of dad dancing. Join us after the break. Hello and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with myself, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports, and John Woodcock from Barclays Bank, and the fantastic Bev Sankey from Arbonne and Chris Lomas from Hope For, formerly known as Reach My Street, still known as what? Anyway, opportunity was what we discussed in the last section, John.
It was perfect. I thought it was fantastic. I'm feeling all entrepreneurialistic and everything, even though that's not a word. Dave, very quickly, let me just quickly ask you, opportunities, Koi Sports, talk to me, okay. Tell me everything.
Okay. Well, we have a prime example here in the room, and so let me just do a little bit of context around it. And so you've alluded to it earlier in the show. Koi Sports is a a business community that does so much more than networks. In fact, we're a business group that networks, not a networking business. But the reason we bring people into Core Sports and what they have to satisfy me, because it's not a volume network, we have to have a conversation with people beforehand to ensure they have our ethics, if you like, at their part of their business, is pay us a membership fee and we'll reinvest it. We'll reinvest it into grassroots sport. We will then promote the fact that the business has done that, proving you to be socially responsible and enhancing your business's reputation. Mm. So 2 years ago now, we started a two-year pilot and we're now in the third year. Now, what we'd work towards doing is exactly what's in this room. And it's amazing. And it's just talking and it's just networking. It's just connecting with people. Bev, fantastic conversation with Bev. There was no doubt I wanted her within the network. So much value. She joined our top level. Mm-hmm. So she paid an amount of money to us. What that does is that then provides a very high investment based on the amount of money we're asking people to pay into a grassroots sports organization or a organization that can use sport to better what it is they're trying to achieve. So introduce Bev to Chris. No, introduce Bev to West Bridgeford FC. West Bridgeford.
Well, you actually introduced me to the guy in Manchester, the blind
young man. Yes.
And he'd started the first England football team for blind people.
He was the England captain, that's right. Yeah.
And one of my contacts, Focus Charity, Matt, he does part-time football coaching at West Bridgeford Club. So I asked him to introduce me to the CEO of the football club. And then we approached him and asked him if he'd take on forming a blind football team. And so that got set up, basically, didn't it? And it was underway in terms of in principle. But then sadly, something catastrophic befell the football club in that one of the young players, an 18-year-old, died. And that threw the whole club into a terrible state, really. So it kind of got shelved, didn't it, temporarily. Mm. And then I met Chris and realised that that was, completely on my frequency, that I'd been thinking a lot about was how can we save the children? Yeah. And so it was just a given, really. I just said to Dave, let's, park that with respect for now. Until they can pick that up again. And in the meantime, I'd like to go with Chris and finance something for, Chris's community over there.
Yeah. And so that leads quite nicely into, well, how on earth does an organisation that does so much, but at the heart of what they do is support orphans and abandoned children and families over in Moldova. Power of sport. The reason that we set what we wanted to do up as directors as a Koi Sports, utilising sport for the greater good. Mm. And Chris, if you'd like to come in here and talk about George and everything else that's happening over there with regards to Bev's investment.
I'm a huge fan of Bev. We've actually spent a lot of time talking and getting to know each other, and she has a heart for children. And I operate in a country that has 80% poverty. So 80% of the population is officially in poverty, and some of the sites I see are just truly heartbreaking. And so Beverly is supporting a guy called George, but he's part of a larger group of young men and women who have qualified as football coaches, and they use football to reach impoverished communities. Now, if you're part of that 80% who are struggling to live, so, that your greatest achievement is to make it to bedtime, with some food in your tummy and in a house that's relatively warm, the idea of joining a football club is beyond your reach. And so we wanted to step in, and we didn't initially know how we were going to do it until I met you, Dave. And that was, how do we connect these incredible young men who have costs? They have to buy equipment, they have to get to the remote villages, there's transport costs. And how do we connect them with children who want to play sport, but whose parents can't afford to send them? And then enter Beverly, and it's just been a marriage in heaven, because these guys just want to reach these desperate children, but they had no other way of doing it. Now we get to finance that, and Beverly's organization is in the headlines as far as these young men are concerned. They're prolific on social media, and it's just wonderful to see this relationship work and the principles of why Koi Sports operates, seeing it in action on a daily basis, and seeing how you, Dave, how you, Beverly, how you, John, are impacting lives in a country 1,700 miles away that is a lifetime away for these children, but how you're making such a material difference to their lives.
I think it's great, you know, what it can achieve.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth pointing out as well, especially when you're looking at children and young adults, sporting sector is a very aspirational sector. Who knows where you might go just by kicking a football? For some, a complete change of quality of life from a financial point of view, which then obviously has a kick on, some good, some bad, but mainly good, you'd like to think. And so giving people that hope for, kind of fits quite nicely into that example. And people hope, even if they never, ever make it, they'll have fun failing, or they'll have an amazing journey getting to the top. And we've always said it, and you only need to look back at the Maradona story, which you may have seen in the documentary, from one of the most socially deprived areas in Argentina. Mm. You know, how many fantastic sports people, elite athletes, have we missed out on as a world, but in this case, Moldova, through not being able to offer sporting opportunities? How much talent is there out in those villages, which is untapped? And I'm not talking about brilliant, let's do the whole Western world thing where agents get rich, footballers receive, you know, high amounts of money. And I understand that isn't their fault, by the way. It's there to be for the benefit of everybody, you know, getting into those communities, getting people more physically and mentally fit. And who knows? And in a young person's head, and I still at 52 think I could still be a professional footballer, especially after watching Leicester lose horrifically to Nottingham Forest on the weekend.
That didn't happen.
I'm pretty sure I could have done a better job, but you know, that's that hope, isn't it?
All of these children have, you know, the likes of Ronaldo on their wall and Messi, and they all believe, you know, they all believe that they can be the next whoever it is. Ronaldinho, and I'm saying the names wrong, but they all have these guys' pictures on their wall, and they believe, and they just need to be given the opportunity.
I think that's it. If you've got the belief, all you want is that opportunity, and who's to say that they couldn't be the next, you know, star footballer within Europe? There's nothing that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you put your mind to it, you can achieve it. And don't get me wrong, it's always good if you're given a helping hand along the way, if you're given a leg up, if you're given a step up. And I think that, you know, just in sort of having this conversation today is sort of, you know, what Bev's doing and helping out, and Chris is there on the ground in Moldova, literally, you know, helping to facilitate and working with, again, these other inspirational, brilliant people that have, you know, they've gone out of their way to become qualified football coaches, because all they want to do is to help, you know, those young individuals, you know, give them that sort of that spark, that light in their eyes that they, you know, yeah, you know, you can go and play football today if you want to. Oh my God, that's fantastic.
And it's thanks to Beverly, and honestly, it's just, I'm a big fan.
I think
Chris. I think, you know, touching on what everybody said, is for me at the moment, the world is changing so dramatically. And I think the word community is everything. You know, if you can build a community, you can build strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. You can support the weaker members as well. So you can give that support to those kids with those beliefs, and anything can happen, can't it? And you can keep out the evil in the world as well. That's the other thing, because if you all join together and stand against, you know, the evilness of trafficking, etc., then those kids are much less likely to disappear. It's exactly. It's when you've got these pockets of poverty and nobody knows what's really going on. And, you know, the evil people in the world take advantage of that, don't they?
They exploit it, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that I, you know, through your generosity, Bev, you know, through to the amazing work that Chris and his wife are doing over there in Moldova. And I'm still astonished, Chris, at what you've accomplished in less than 12 months. I truly, truly am. But I do think that, you know, without you being there, I think it would be a very, very different place. I think you're having, you know, you're putting everything out there. What you see on social media is pretty much what Chris sees, albeit that we get to see little snippets. Chris and his wife, you know, they're there, get to see it 24 hours a day. So
thanks, John.
It is education, though, isn't it? And we've got to work out a way where, you know, the pen pal thing, so that kids in, you know, America and the UK realise that there are children that just don't have what they've got, and they can reach out and just offer emotional support.
Yeah, I think for me on that pen pal thing, I know it's something we talked about before, Chris, but I've subsequently moved jobs and I haven't got a brain left anymore. But I do want to pick up with you with regards to that, because I want to be able to see if there's something that we can do.
That'd be amazing.
Here in sunny Leicester. But also to see, maybe put that out across the sort of the koi community and see if we can sort of, you know, spread that a little bit more, because I think that pen pal thing for me is, although it sounds really simple, and it is, it is really simple. How incredibly powerful would that be? Sort of like that communication, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody from Moldova writing a letter to, you know, some kid in the United States.
And there's something exciting about letter writing as well.
It's old school, isn't it? Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Who writes letters?
You imagine getting one with a stamp on it, you know, even if it's 3 years later. Yeah. It's like a genie. When people put pieces of paper in bottles and then send them out to sea, and then eventually somebody finds it.
Yeah.
There's something quite magical about that, having a friendship that came that way.
Well, so, we do that with what we're doing now.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, John, I'd really appreciate you mentioning it. And certainly if someone wants to read about it and get in touch, if there's a school, a school head that wants to run a project, then they can just head over to hopefor.love/penpals. So they can read all about it and get involved and change lives. This is what it's all about. You know, we keep nothing we're given. Every penny we raise is spent on the purpose it was given. We're not here for a lifestyle, even though someone accused me of that when I first came out. You go to Miami for a lifestyle. You don't go to Moldova. You go to Moldova to change lives. So that's hopefor.love/penpals.
As Chris, thanks so much for that. Bev, earlier on in the show, we talked about opportunities and your good self. So how would people be able to get in touch with you?
Same as everybody else, really. I'm on social media. So Facebook, it's facebook.com/BevSankey, and Instagram is just Bev Sankey. I have a website now as well, BevSankey.com. And just contact me through those channels. It's quite straightforward.
Smoke Sankey, signals, Sankey carrier is, pigeons.
Sankey is spelled S-A-N-K-E-Y.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to look at the products as well, because obviously, you know, there is a way that through supporting, Koi Sports, we can donate some of the profits from the sale of the products as well. That's another key thing we can do. So if people want to buy those products, they can go to beverly.sankey.arbon.com. Beverly Sankey without the dot. So beverlysankey.arbon.com, and they can literally register, get an account, and then they can shop through that. And if they contact me and tell me that's where their account has come from, then I know I can make a donation to Koi Sports from the sale of those products. So
brilliant. And this is something which I wanted to really get in, because when we go back to talking about aspiration and hope and that, Bev, you have actually created that opportunity. It was there, those guys were doing that out in Moldova, but you as a person as a business owner, have gone out of your way to give your hard-earned profits to create opportunity and hope for young people. How, that's the buzz, okay? That's the buzz that I get, and hopefully I'm pretty sure.
I think a lot of people, you know, want to give back, you know, and CSR policies and procedures within companies, the size of Barclays is so detached from, you know, the reality of the stuff that's going on. And it's all tick boxes. It's one reason why I did close my company previously, because the red tape is just ridiculous. So for me, I want to live outside of that world now, you know, and I want to be able to live in such a way that I can give back, and it's very real. I don't want to pay, you know, loads of money to large charities where you never know where the money's going.
Yeah.
That's the other thing as well, is that I think Dave's really upfront, and sort of, you know, it's crystal clear. Your money comes in. Mm. This is where it's going. And to be fair, if memory is correct, Dave, you even put it out on social media where that sort of investment's going. So it's not just the individual or the business or the organisation that's putting the investment through Koi Sports. It's visual for everybody to see as to what's going on and how it's going. And I think this is one of the fundamental differences for me about how this Koi community works and working with businesses and working with organisations, you know, and charities and sports clubs. And, you know, for me, sports clubs are mostly sort of like we are the local communities. And and that's, you know, when me and Dave first sat down and he had me at hello, that's what we talked about. And that was the bit that's really stuck for me, is that sports organisations tend to be the heartbeat or the local community. And without them, there's a fundamental breakdown.
And can I also point out as well, the fact that because there's that transparency and you also have the relationship, so you build the trust and you know the person, and like I met Chris and straight away I trusted him, you know, because, you know, he wouldn't be out there doing what he's doing unless he was serious about it. He's not out there to get a yacht in Florida, like you say. So for me, it was easy to give a greater amount of money.
Agreed.
You know, definitely. I've been donating money to the NSPCC for God knows how many years, but it's minuscule because I don't know where my money's going and I don't trust it, you know. So for me to be able to see that, it just encourages you to give more, because you know that it's real and you know where it's going. You can see where it's going if you really need to. So I think that's really important.
I agree. I really do. And for me to have the likes of course, John, Chris and Bev join us on this radio show is amazing, you know, to give a platform for people to tell their story and talk about what they're doing. That's education in itself. So thank you both so, so very much for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. And I just wish you both the best of luck. And of course, we'll all be talking about different things, no doubt.
Thanks, Dave. Watch this space 12 months from now.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bev. Thank you, Chris.
Thank
and of course,
you.
John Woodcock, the final
thank
word.
Thank you, David. You've been awesome. All of you. You've all been awesome.
Going to point that to
thank me. You John,
have a great week everybody, look forward to hopefully meeting some of you very, very soon. All the best.